This is the message from Connection Community Church for Sunday, August 2nd, 2026. Renew your mind, gospel hope for mental health. Thoughts.
I like this. We should do this every week. Hey, do you know what it feels like to have someone invite you to take the open seat and talk about your life? You ever do that before? Maybe, hopefully, you've had this experience at least once. Like, it could have been with a friend, a confidant, family. It could have been a mentor, could have been a pastor, could have been a counselor. But chances are it took you a little bit of time to, maybe work up the courage. Maybe it took time for you to realize you even needed to talk to somebody. And man, it can feel really refreshing, like relieving, but it can also be intimidating and uncomfortable to sit in the open seat and talk. But maybe you did that and you finally opened up. Maybe you shared something you never shared with anybody else, right? And maybe, hopefully, that simple conversation puts you on a path of renewal. Honestly, for myself, there was a time in my younger life when I found it very hard to get vulnerable. To articulate what I was really thinking and feeling and going through as a person. I carried a lot of shame at times. I carried a lot of performance, pressure, perfectionism, honestly, a lot of anxiety. And I really didn't know myself. All kinds of things were happening inside me that I was hardly aware of underneath my choices, my words, my actions. And it has taken me a lot of time with life and a lot of time with Jesus to just become aware of my stuff, let alone deal with it. You know what I mean? But I've learned that sitting in the chair and talking can sometimes be the best thing I can do, not just for me, but for the people around me who are influenced by me. Mental health, you don't need me to tell you this. It's such a prevalent thing in our world today. Such a prevalent issue. And we desperately need biblical wisdom and biblical hope in this area. And sometimes in the church, sometimes we just completely avoid this topic. Other times we downplay it or we trivialize it or we address it in unhelpful ways. We don't always know what to do with this. When our worship design team met in the winter to just, we pray and we plan and we vision out, what are we going to teach on this year? And we wanted one of the things we talked about and taught about from the biblical perspective to be the subject of mental health. And I've been praying a lot about this week because I know there's ways you can get it right and there's ways you can get it wrong. I'm just praying we get it right. We're going to go to God. We're going to open up the word and see what wisdom and hope he has for us in this topic. So for this final summer series, don't get too sad about that because it's 5 whole weeks. But for this last series of summer, we're talking about renew your mind, biblical hope, gospel hope for mental health. We want to talk about this topic from the perspective of the good news of Jesus. And today we're talking about thoughts. We're going to break it down these next 5 weeks to thoughts, feelings, habits, wounds, and attitudes. But today we're just starting with the basic thoughts. And I think this would be a good time to pray. So let's pray. Holy God, gracious God, we pray that you would come afresh into our hearts and minds today. Renew our awareness of your ever-present goodness. You are here. Help us to become aware of your presence right here with us. And we pray that you would open up your word to us and illuminate our understanding to give us healing and hope and salvation in the name of Jesus Christ, to give us wisdom, to give us direction in the name of Jesus Christ. Pray for every single person here, young and old, every single person connecting online, watching with us, watching after the fact. You would give them exactly what they need through the living word. Thank you, Jesus. We invite you to lead us. We give you all the glory. Amen. I'm going to stand up now. That was nice. That was good. Let me just put into perspective as we begin this journey how amazingly complex our mental life is. I'm not a scientist. My background is all like humanities stuff, okay? I have a biblical degree, but I like sciencey, nerdy stuff. And I like learning stuff. I just don't understand all of it. But let me tell you just a little bit about what I've learned that I think is amazing about the mind and the brain. You know, scientists are discovering incredible things about the human brain more and more as we develop, you know, technology and stuff. And one renowned neuroscientist recently claimed that the human brain is the most complex object in the known universe. Out of anything we know of in the physical universe, he says the brain, the human brain, is the most complex thing we know of. Another scientist, he was a physicist, he put it in more context. He described it like this: the human brain has 100 billion neurons. Each neuron is connected to 10,000 other neurons. Sitting on your shoulders, again, is the most complicated object in the known universe. Isn't that fascinating? So cool. Shout out to Randy in the tech booth. He told me, did you know that the brain is the only organ that named itself? Like that? Like that? Okay, that's a good, I think that's a good dad joke. Thanks, Randy. This thing is incredible. Our Milky Way galaxy has between 100 and 400 billion stars. Inside your head, this brain contains 100 to 500 trillion synapses. That's connections between neurons, okay? All in 3 pounds of tissue floating inside your skull. It's just astounding to think about how this like pinkish-gray ball of matter somehow gives rise to a mind. Billions of individual cells working together to enable memory, knowledge, feeling, creativity, consciousness, personhood in this unified stream of thought. It's a miracle of God's creation. You are a miracle of God's creation. And it's a mystery. We don't know how this works. You know, artificial intelligence, this invention, this crazy thing that's been developed, AI, takes an insane amount of energy to power. You know about this? You know about data centers? By 2028, they say that we will have almost 900,000 acres of data centers just in the United States, just to power all the internet and AI stuff. Now, using current technology, what we currently have, of course, it's going to keep developing, I'm sure, but with the current technology, it's estimated that if you really wanted to replicate the processing power of an actual human brain, it would take a dedicated nuclear power plant just to provide that much energy to replicate exactly the processing power that your brain has. Contrast that with yourself. Your brain runs on about 20 watts of biological power. It's like a LED light bulb. That's all it takes. And about 500 calories a day is what it takes for your brain to do its thing, the efficiency of that. So it's like two donuts and a light bulb versus a nuclear power plant just to make an artificial version of that thing. Like, you are so fearfully and wonderfully made. You are such an amazing creation of God. It's absolutely amazing. It's awesome to comprehend this. But you know, people of biblical faith have always known this. We've always known that humans are utterly unique, totally special because of how God made us. We know this. Psalm 139, David wrote, "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know this full well." Genesis 1:28, God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. The image of God. Psalm 8, "What is mankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings that you care for them. You've made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor. Fearfully and wonderfully made. You are more precious in his sight than all the creatures of the world. Than all the stars in the sky. You have a universe of complexity within you. You are one of a kind. You are worth the death of God's only son." That's how valuable you are to him. That's how precious you are to him. That's how much he loves you. Fearfully and wonderfully made. But what happens when this complex, delicate, powerful thing called the human mind is subjected to the effects of sin and the fall? If because of the fall, the human body is subject to sickness and death, that's what the Bible teaches, then through the fall, the mind is also subject to sickness and death. And whether a person has mental health disorder, some kind of sickness of the mind of all different sorts of things, or they're mentally healthy, from a biblical perspective, all of us are naturally bent away from God. All of us are dominated by sinful thought patterns. We're all in need of salvation and healing and renewal in our entire lives, including here. Now, if you look at mental health specifically in our world, the most recent data suggests that over 1 billion people worldwide, 1.2 billion people or so, have some kind of mental health disorder worldwide today. That's 1 in 8 people in the world. They say that it is mental health in the world is now the leading cause of disability out of all causes. In the United States, it's almost 1 in 4. We could go on and on, all sorts of statistics. You can do your own research. You already probably know just how prevalent this is. The point is, even if this doesn't personally affect you, and for some of us it doesn't, you know people who it does affect. Lots of them. And whether somebody is psychologically well or unwell, all of us are sin sick. And all of our minds are affected by that. The mind is the primary place where this battle takes place. Everything flows from there. As your thoughts go, there your life goes. That's some of the bad news, some of the reality. But here's the good news. If minds can be affected by sin, can be marred and damaged, broken by sin, then through the gospel, minds can be healed and restored by Jesus. Partly in this life, sometimes to a great degree, but fully in the life to come. There's a chapter in the New Testament, Romans 12, that I think is profoundly hopeful for this age of mental crisis. And this truth is going to be kind of the foundation for our series. And I want you to listen very carefully to this. Chances are you might have heard this scripture before if you've spent some time with the Bible. But check this out in Romans 12, verses 1 and 2 from the Apostle Paul. "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Paul starts by saying, in view of God's mercy. And this passage here is a hinge verse in Romans. It's a big hinge verse because the first 11 chapters, Paul was talking all about the gospel of Jesus. Romans is one of the most important letters ever written. It's one of the greatest explanations and explorations of the gospel that we have in the New Testament. And he goes through so many things, if you read Romans 1 through 11, that affected the Christians he was writing to in that day and that affect us today. But at this point in the letter, he hinges from kind of unpacking, here's what the gospel is, here's what Jesus has done, here's the implications. And now he's going to talk with the rest of the book about the practical outflow and applications of that. So he's hinging and saying, okay, in view of all of this, in other words, in light of everything that Jesus has done for us, that amazing grace, in view of that, in response to that, he says the only real response is to lay your life down for him, to give it all back to him. He says, lay your life, all that you are, your body, mind, and spirit, on the altar as a living sacrifice. The traditional form of worship in those days was the sacrifice was killed, right? But he says, you are a living sacrifice, an ongoing sacrifice. Living out your life as this altar, this, here, God, my life is yours. I mean, you've given, now that I understand what you've done for me, you've given everything to me, Jesus. You've done it all for me. I didn't do it. You did it. But now, Lord, I'm just laying my life as a living sacrifice on the altar. I'm surrendering it all to you. And I'm giving you my life as an act of worship. My life song, it's an act of worship. So he gave everything and we surrendered all back to him. So then Paul gives this amazing charge saying, okay, here's the gospel. Here's what Jesus did for you. Here's our response. And now he says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Let's break this down. The pattern of this world, world here can also mean age, the pattern of this age, like when we say the spirit of the age, this whole like kind of time, this world we live in. From a biblical perspective, there's basically two ages. There's the present age, which is where sin and death reign in the world. But there is then also the age to come, we're looking forward to, when God will transform all of creation and his goodness and righteousness will have the full say once again. Because of what Jesus did, that age is already breaking in through his people. When we say, thy kingdom come, and he says, the kingdom is here. Well, when we respond to Jesus and receive the good news and give our lives to him, now we get to see how that kingdom already begins to be at work in our lives. That future we're looking forward to of heaven and the restoration of all things is already beginning to be at work here and now because of Jesus and what he's doing in our lives. Even though we're waiting for that fullness to come to all creation, okay? That's why in the New Testament, another passage says, for anyone who is in Christ, the new creation has come. Born again, renewed, restored, redeemed, right? So heaven has begun to invade earth for anyone who says yes to Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing? Because we see sometimes hell on earth is a thing. But because of Jesus, heaven on earth is also possible. And it can start with you and in you. Paul is saying, don't allow the world to form you, to mold you into its own patterns anymore. The patterns of this world are based on sin and death. But now that you are in Christ, you can be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So our minds can be molded by the patterns of sin and death, you know, the mindset of hell. It can be molded by that, but also through Christ, our minds can be molded by patterns of holiness and newness of life. The mindset of heaven can become your mindset by the grace of God. earlier in Romans, as he's unpacking all this stuff, it describes humanity's sin problems in terms of our minds and our thoughts. Romans 1 says, "For although they knew God," talking about humanity and their fall, our fall, "although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him. But their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images, for idols, for false gods." Later in Romans chapter 8, it says, this contrast, letting your sinful nature, or sometimes the Bible uses this language of your flesh to represent your sinful nature, control your mind leads to death. But letting the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, God's Spirit, control your mind leads to life and peace. Letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death. Letting the Holy Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. And all I want to say is, in today's world, this message, I think, that the scripture gives us is profoundly hopeful that your mind can be renewed according to the grace and truth of God through Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. This is hopeful. The Greek word used for transformed in this passage is the word we get metamorphosis from. Your mind, your life can go through a metamorphosis by the power of Jesus. It's the same word used to describe when Jesus' appearance was transformed on the mountaintop when the disciples saw his glory. He was transfigured. It's the same word when Paul talks about 2 Corinthians, you know, we're being transformed from glory to glory. Here he's saying your life can be transformed like that by the renewing of your mind. And then when he talks about renew, it means like a total renovation. A renovation. The verb here is in the passive form. He says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And so what he's talking about here is it's not something we do by ourselves. It's actually something he does in us. But it takes our active cooperation. We either cooperate with the patterns of this world and we sort of allow it to shape us, mold us, cookie cutter it into the patterns of the world, or we cooperate with the power of God and we can be transformed by his grace. It's passive active. It's where we receive God's work on our behalf, but then we work with him to work it out in our lives. Okay? Some things sometimes don't fully change in this life. Sometimes there are things we have to bear. Sometimes there are crosses we have to carry. Sometimes there are thorns on the side that don't get taken. But because of the gospel of Jesus, we can be transformed by the renewing of our mind. In fact, the Bible says that now we can have the mind of Christ. Stop and think about that. Stop and think about what's being offered there. That if we're in Christ, and if we're part of the body of Christ, we have access to, we have the ability now to live by the mind of Christ. Whoa. Whoa. That's even better than a light bulb and two donuts, man. Like, that'll give you some power, bro. Holy smokes. If we allow his Spirit to lead us, if we learn by putting his grace into practice, you know, dwelling on his word, his truth, his presence, setting your mind moment by moment, just turning your mind to the Lord, learning to fix your mind more and more on him, we can actually allow his thoughts to dominate our lives instead of the broken thought patterns of sin. I know this is such a massive topic and there's so many layers to it and there's just no way to cover everything in one message or even in one series. I know that everybody just has different experiences and unique stories, and there are things that have been done to us or things we've experienced, things that are just part of even our like wiring, our makeup, our biology that we can't control that make this challenging. And it's like, you can't just say to somebody, well, just think different, just think better. It's like, it's just not that simple. Like, oh, just think good. It's like, okay, I hear you, but it's not that easy because I have all these hurdles. I get it. Like, there's a lot to this journey. But I just want to say to you, from the perspective of the gospel of Jesus, this is the hope offered to all humanity, that no matter what your situation, what your particular, you know, set of cards you were dealt, good or bad, what struggles you personally have to deal with, this offer in the gospel is that you can be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And walking that out may look differently for each of us because of the things we've been through, things we're dealing with, but you can be transformed by the renewing of your mind because the grace of God is available to everybody. As a gift. And once you receive that grace, his spirit comes into your life. And you can let him become the new navigator of all these things. Let me tell you one more thing that's really amazing about the brain that you hear a lot of people talk about today. We have this trait called neuroplasticity. Have you heard this phrase? It's popular for people to talk about it today. It's become, you know, a popular thing, but it's really amazing. It's the brain's ability physically to change and grow and reorganize and rewire itself. All those interconnected like neurons we talked about, all those things inside this little 3-pound, you know, gray matter in your head, whatever. It can rewire, it can change, it can grow, it can adapt, and it can be, and according to our thoughts, for good or bad. So like we can create these ruts and these patterns that have organized themselves around, you know, bad stuff, negative stuff, lies. We can also create these patterns and these grooves that are organized around good stuff, truth. We can work through this process for good or bad. Cognitive behavioral therapy, CBT, talks a lot about automatic thoughts. Automatic thoughts. It becomes like muscle memory. You know those things you do without thinking? Like, I ride a bike without thinking. I drive. Well, you got to think when you drive, but there's things you're doing physically, right? There's this muscle memory, right? Yeah, don't drive without thinking. That wasn't a good example. You know what I'm saying? Muscle memory, but it's your mind does this too. Your mind has this muscle memory where you have these automatic thoughts that you think without thinking, okay? But with awareness, what you can do is you can start to become aware of what is that automatic thought that I default to, and then I can decide the next thought. For whatever reason, I've developed these patterns, and maybe stuff happened to me, or I started doing things, and I just have these automatic thoughts that really aren't good, or they aren't true according to the Lord. So I can become aware of that and go, okay, but now I'm going to take the driver's seat again. That's actually not, that's not where we're going, mind. Let the mind of Christ come in here, okay? And you can work with that with grace. And with time, we can hand over the influence from our old sin nature to the Holy Spirit, and he can work with us. The Bible talks about this often, like 2 Corinthians says, take every thought captive, right, to the gospel of Jesus. When the Bible gives us the instructions to like meditate and memorize on scripture, it's asking us to do this so that we can like rewire our brains, you know, restore, renew our minds according to God's truth, according to his love for you, according to his perspective of you, according to what he wants out of your life, right? And so all this comes together. It's not easy. It's not always easy. But with time and grace and surrender, we actually can rewire our minds with grace and truth. I think this is gospel hope for mental health. I'm gonna sit on the couch again. I spent a lot of my early life, like when I think back to, you know, just like young years, young adult years, early life, like surviving by trying hard to do a good job. I don't know why. That's just kind of, maybe it's how I coped with stuff. It's just where I found identity. It's where I made things work. And I was able to mask some of my struggles by convincing myself that I was performing well and that that's just all that mattered. but I had you know, some inner demons that I didn't really understand that afflicted me from early on, and that's just how brokenness entered my story. And I've realized now with reflection, something I didn't really realize early on, that like the broader family system that I come from, many people in my family system have been impacted by lots of different mental health struggles. And it's taken me until my late 30s to sit on the couch and realize that I actually struggle too. And once I realized it, I've also discovered that I don't have to be captive to it. I can identify the lie and where it's rooted in my story, and I can patiently dismantle it by the power of the gospel. And I can position myself to become receptive to his spirit working in me and be responsive to his truth and replace those automatic negatives and lies, either from my own story or my own mind or even from the devil, putting those lies out there. I can replace those with a renewed mind in Christ. This has been a long delayed renovation for me. And it's honestly just getting started. It's probably a lifelong journey. But Jesus is walking me through it along with some godly mentors, Christian counselors, and God is working it out. Some of the best advice I've gotten is simply this: you know, if you want to grow as a leader, as a believer, maybe one of the best things you can do is get a good mentor and get a good counselor. And maybe that's not what everybody needs, but I think a lot of people could go a long way if they said, I need a good mentor and I need a good Christian counselor. And if that's not where you're at or what you can do right now, then get some godly brothers and sisters to just have fellowship with and share life with genuinely, because we need each other. Maybe you need to take a journey like I did. Maybe you need to find a place and sit and talk with somebody and find that chair and sit down and know that that person can look back at you with the eyes of Christ. Maybe you need to rediscover hope that renewal is possible. Maybe you've gotten stuck in just thinking like, this is just the way it's always going to be. I'm never going to change. And you've just despaired. Maybe you just need to rediscover today the basic hope that renewal is possible with Jesus. Maybe you need to take some time away and sit with a journal or whatever, and with God's help, take like an inventory of your thought life and your story and just process that with the Lord. Maybe you need to find one scripture, one truth from his word, and just meditate on that all month to start making some new mental patterns and rewiring some stuff according to the word of God. You know, maybe you just need to start praying. This would be a great prayer for us. Lord, renew my mind. That would be a great prayer. Like, Lord, I've just been so affected by technology and media and this the age I live in. It's just gotten on me and just shaped me in so many ways and molded me. Lord, I really do just need you to renew my mind. Pray that and then let him lead you forward in faith in that, in steps of obedience and walking that out, and watch what can happen. Just pray, Lord, renew my mind. I believe this is your promise. Renew my mind, Lord. Whatever the case, whatever it is, I think this journey in August is gonna have something important for all of us. And as we approach the communion table today, as we come to receive his grace, I just want you to remember that if you are in Christ, you now have the mind of Christ. And you can be transformed step by step from glory to glory by the renewal of your mind.
Thank you for listening to the message from Connection Community Church. For more information and to find out more about our ministries, you can visit us on our website at justshowup.church. You can also call our church offices at 302-378-7692. Thanks again for listening. Connection Community Church, connecting people to Jesus and the new life he offers.